Next is a meeting with disciples on September 26, 1993 in Vrindavan.
Each last two Sundays we covered a chapter each of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the next consecutive chapter is the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. I don't intend to cover the whole thing, just some of the opening incidents especially. So one theme is continued here about King Prataparudra's trying to get the audience of Lord Chaitanya. So first he sends a letter to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asking could he get Lord Chaitanya's permission? Bhattacharya replies that no, we asked, and Lord Chaitanya said no. So then Bhattacharya wrote a second letter, and this letter is quoted here. It's to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Please appeal to all the devotees associated with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and submit this petition to them on my behalf. If all the devotees associated with the Lord are favorably disposed toward me, they can submit my petition at the lotus feet of the Lord. By the mercy of all the devotees, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Without His mercy, my kingdom does not appeal to me. If Gaurahari, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will not show mercy to me, I shall give up my kingdom, become a mendicant, and beg from door to door. When Bhattacharya received this letter, he became very anxious. So we learned that Bhattacharya is like the spiritual master of Prataparudra. So this explains why he would become anxious. Spiritual master is concerned for the disciples, and this statement of renunciation by the king makes him anxious. After all, it's the king's duty to keep the kingdom, and now he's ready to simply give it up. And maybe do something worse, something very radical. So, the king's appeal was intelligent, as we would expect, that he asked Sarvabhauma, you asked and you were refused. What if all the devotees asked? So, Sarvabhauma meets with all the devotees and shows them the letter. So they all read it. In or out, and close the door. Why are they going out? If you want to come. They were very astonished that the king had so much devotion for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. There's more room here for men. However, they already have tested Lord Chaitanya about this matter, and they're not very eager to go again and get the fire The devotee said, the Lord would never meet the king, and if we requested him to do so, the Lord would surely feel very unhappy. They mentioned not so much that they would get chastised, but that this topic would bring unhappiness to Lord Chaitanya. It's a fact that the dealings with the devotees and Lord Chaitanya are all very loving, but he's always seen as the spiritual master. And so sometimes they're afraid that they may displease him. So Sarvabhauma says, no, we won't try that. We won't say again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will you see the king? We know that such a direct approach doesn't work. We'll just go, and in front of him we'll praise Sarvabhauma, we'll praise the king. So, when all the devotees came before Lord Chaitanya, however, their tongues were all tied, they couldn't speak. This is a very... We like these intimate and human kind of touches that we read in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Although they're all perfect devotees, they act in ways that win our hearts. Sometimes when it even appears like some kind of weakness, but it's actually just another kind of love and another kind of perfection. We already mentioned why they might be tongue-tied. So we can just picture them, they're all the Lord's dear devotees, they're all sitting around him. And normally there would be some natural discourse back and forth. But now they're just looking at him. So he says, why have you all come here? I see that you want to say something, but you do not speak. What is the reason? We call this in English a pregnant silence. And you know there's something very heavy on all the, written on all the people's faces, but they just can't say it. So Lord Chaitanya immediately understood that. This is so something in the air. And then, a very powerful and influential person among the group speaks up, namely Nityananda Prabhu. He says, we want to tell you something. Although we cannot say without speaking, we still are very much afraid to speak. We want to submit to you something that may or may not be befitting. The matter is this. Unless he sees you, the king of Orissa will become a mendicant. So, this has been brought up before, and almost as soon as the words came out of Sarvabhauma's mouth, he was chastised. There are other examples too, where the devotees, when they... especially with Junior Haridas, when they try to get Lord Chaitanya to show some extra mercy, he won't even tolerate it. And so in a sense, he lets them know their place, not to intrude on his mood. But we can see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a special relationship with Lord Nityananda. In their eternal relationship, Lord Nityananda is the elder brother. So it's significant that Lord Nityananda, at least he doesn't get cut off, and he continues to speak. Lord Nityananda continued, and he tells about the king's drastic plan. And he just wants to see your moon-like face to his full satisfaction, and he wants to raise the lotus feet of the Lord to his heart. Hearing all these statements, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mind was certainly softened, But externally, he wished to speak some harsh words. So this is contradictory. Why? If his heart was softened, why wouldn't he speak that way? Well, one reason is, which he has been consistent in all along, he wants to set the example for sannyas. And when one sets an example in his own ashram, it indirectly sets the example for others. When a householder sets a good example, that's then the sannyasi should think, yes, and I also must be proper in my ashram, and same with brahmachari and vanaprastha. And that's how religious principles are kept strong in society. So that we've already heard, why a sannyasi should not associate with a worldly person. And he's also being angry or speaking harsh words as part of their humor or their relationship. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I can understand that you all desire to take me to Cuttack to see the king. There's a number of verses now, and in each one Lord Chaitanya uses sarcasm. Could you get me the American World Dictionary? See what the word sarcasm. I'm giving one lecture in the seminar called something like Glimpses of Lord Chaitanya as a Person, and I've just gone through the Chaitanya Charitamrita for isolated instances here and there where we really get to see the Lord more closely. And I haven't chosen this section, but I've chosen some other sarcastic moments. So such a mild, saintly, entirely transcendental person as Lord Chaitanya, a little unusual that he would speak this way. But it's a sign of his intimacy. Of course, a rascal will be sarcastic with anyone. But it's like a kind of way to be nasty. But Lord Chaitanya does it with his intimate devotees. Sarcasm. It comes from some word from the Greek. Sarcasing, which means to tear flesh like dogs, or speak bitterly. A taunting, sneering, cutting, or caustic remark, jibe or jeer, generally ironic. So that he says, I can understand you all desire to take me to Cuttack to see the king. They didn't say that. He's exaggerating their request. They say, it's assumed that the king will go to see Lord Chaitanya. But Prabhupada in the purport says that, taking up all the available space, if you clean up your roof, Baladeva, we can go over there. are you're making a promise on behalf of those laborers? That'll be next year. So Lord Chaitanya he's expressing himself sarcastically that you want me to go to see the king. But actually, since the devotees didn't bring that up, Prabhupada says that indirectly Lord Chaitanya is saying, since he's bringing up the topic, I'm willing to go to the king. I will go if you want. And so he's already so inclined to see King Prataparudra, although he's not showing it, that he's ready to do something quite unusual. But he doesn't let that on. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "What to speak of spiritual advancement? All the people will blaspheme me. And what to speak of the people, all the people, Damodar would chastise me. I shall not meet the king at the request of all the devotees, but I shall do so if Damodar will give his permission." More sarcasm. And this is directed towards one particular devotee. There's two Damodars, Swarup Damodar, but this is to Damodar Pandit, who has this habit of criticizing Lord Chaitanya for Lord Chaitanya's own good. Later, Lord Chaitanya sees the son of a widow. He likes to see this boy. Reminds him of Krishna. So Damodar Pandit says, "This is not good. The widow is a young woman and people will criticize you." And on other occasions too. So this was not right. The brahmachari shouldn't criticize a sannyasi, or the disciple shouldn't criticize the spiritual master, although they were doing it in some spiritual rasa. Lord Chaitanya is sarcastically pointing out that this is not a good habit, that Damodar is such a critic of my activities. Prabhupada says, a devotee or disciple should never attempt to criticize the Lord or his representative, the spiritual master. So Damodar, you can almost see his face turning red, immediately replies, "My Lord, you are the fully independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since everything is known to you, you know what is permissible and what is not permissible. I am merely an insignificant jiva, so what power do I have to give directions to you? By your own personal choice, you will meet the king. I shall see it." He doesn't exactly cave in. Damodar continues, "The king is very much attached to you, and you are feeling affection and love toward him. Thus I can understand that by virtue of the king's affection for him, you will touch him. You are dependent on the love and affection of your devotees, although you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and independent. That is your nature." Nityananda Prabhu then said, "Who is there in the three worlds who can ask you to see the king? Still, isn't it the nature of an attached man to give up his life if he does not attain his desired object?" So this is the anxiety that they have, which is also a good emotional lever to use against Lord Chaitanya, that there is actually danger of suicide with the king. And this has happened before. So this should be considered. And then Nityananda Prabhu shows his supreme intelligence. They're not gonna, as he said, who can ask you? Why should they force Lord Chaitanya to do something he doesn't want to do? They haven't come to gang up and pressure Lord Chaitanya. But everything should be reconciled. So what is the idea? What is a good solution? Nityananda Prabhu then submitted one suggestion for the Lord's consideration. "There is a way by which you need not meet the king, but which would enable the king to continue living. If you, out of your mercy, send one of your outward garments to the king would live, hoping to see you sometime in the future." So, significant that he says sometime in the future. It's not that this is our final solution. You give him a cloth, and then everyone will be satisfied. But it's a very good intermediate solution. Of course, an outsider would think, what kind of a solution is this? Such an insignificant gesture by the Lord to give a piece of his cloth and say, "Here, you can give this to the king." How would that in any way pacify the king? But such a person who would think like that doesn't know the potency of the objects in relation to the Lord. And Prabhupada explains this. So immediately Lord Chaitanya accepts that. "Whatever you decide, I shall accept." And Lord Nityananda then gets an external garment used by the Lord, requesting it from Govinda, and that is sent to the king. When the king received the old cloth, he began to worship it exactly as he would worship the Lord personally. So Prabhupada, he writes a purport about tadiya, or the paraphernalia of the Lord. The phrase tadiya comes from the verse, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Deva Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Lord Shiva's statement that of all the gods, worship of Lord Vishnu is the best worship. But tadiyanam, things in relationship to Lord Vishnu, are even better to worship than the worship of the Lord. So generally we take that tadiya in that verse to mean the Vaishnava. Better than worshipping Vishnu is the Vaishnava. But technically it can be meant other things in relationship to the Lord. Examples of things in relation to the Lord, to Lord Vishnu, are his clothing, his bedding, his slippers. These are all transformation of Shesha, Vishnu, the expansion of Baladev. And then Prabhupada tells us about Vrindavan as Tadiya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs us that just as Krishna is worshipable, Krishna's place, Vrindavan, is also worshipable. And as Vrindavan is worshipable, similarly the paraphernalia in Vrindavan, the trees, roads, river, everything is worshipable. A pure devotee thus sings, Jaya Jaya Vrindavan Vasi Jata Jana. All glories to the residents of Vrindavan. So if one has great faith in these things, then everything gets awakened. All the truths of Krishna consciousness get awakened in the heart of a person who has faith in the potency of the tadiya. This is different, however, than the sometimes undiscriminating mood of worshipping everything that you see in India, especially among uneducated village people that worship anything and everything in an equal way, which also denotes a kind of piety that's better than Western or anywhere in the world atheism, where nothing will be worshipped, except they wind up worshipping money, or they worship indirectly, sense gratification, power, sex, but they will not worship anything as divine. Trying to remove the divine from everything. I think that's educated. There's an explanation for lightning and thunder. There's an explanation for the origin of life. Or there's no explanation for what happens after death. Nothing happens. Never will accept the mystic element. So the people who worship everything in India, at least they have some recognition. But that has to be educated. The other day in the temple, it was Radhastami, when our temple was somewhat crowded. And just before the class, I was by Prabhupada's Vyasasan, and one woman with her two children, she went right up the steps of Prabhupada's Vyasasan. So she was standing just on the step just below him. And she brought up her two very small children. And then she reached over and put her hands reverently on the paws of the lion, and then put them to her head. Then she went over to the other lions and put them on their head, her head, and then directed her children that they should do that. And I was thinking, I never thought of the lions as divine personalities. And one of the boys was so small he couldn't even do what she suggested. He put his hands on the lion's paws, and then he put it to his feet. I was astonished. I looked up at her and she looked at me and smiled, and I smiled back. But there's worship in the mode of ignorance. People worship ghosts or trees with ghosts in them, and worship demigods on the equal level with Krishna. So this has to be, what is tadiya, what is worshipable? Is the Vaishnava, the Lord, Vishnu Tattva, and the paraphernalia of both the Lord and the pure devotee. That may include the lions. I'm the expert on all these things. Sri Vishnu is Satchit Ananda Vigraha, similarly the most confidential servant of Krishna, the spiritual master, and all devotees of Vishnu are Tadiya. Not just some very great Mahabhagwat, his paraphernalia, but all these other devotees, they're nothing. But all the devotees are a part of the paraphernalia of Krishna. I remember Prabhupada, he liked to encourage his devotees that they were devotees. I remember one time when I was serving him and another devotee was there too, Panditji. So in the evening Prabhupada would have a massage. So he called for us. And Panditji called back. He said, just a minute, Prabhupada. I have to go wash my hands. Prabhupada said, no, don't stop to wash your hands. You're a Vaishnava, you're sanctified. The Satchit Ananda Vigraha Guru, Vaishnavas, and things used by them must be considered Tadiya, and without a doubt, worshipable by all living beings. So that's the end of that little scene. We should have within our own hearts a capacity to worship, and that capacity can be cultivated by practice of worship. When it's done sincerely, then Krishna's devotees will reciprocate with us, and even the worshipable items. Any questions?
Yes. Just now you said about king and suicide. I didn't understand.
The king said that if he didn't see Lord Chaitanya, he would become a mendicant. So Nityananda Prabhu took a little further and he said, isn't it the nature of an attached man to give up his life if he does not attain his desired object? For instance, some of the wives of the Brahmins who were performing sacrifices gave up their lives in the presence of their husbands for the sake of Krishna. Prabhupada says in the purport, they were ready to give up their lives. So that's the reference. Now this theme continues with a new friend of, or not a new friend, but new to this chapter. Another person working on behalf of the king is Ramananda Rai. So Ramananda Rai was a servant of the king as the governor, and he went to the king after Ramananda Rai's meetings with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya said, you should get out of this government service and come and live with me in Puri. So Ramananda Rai went and got full permission. So now he's going to tell Lord Chaitanya about this. What happened was the king immediately gave him permission. And then one good turn deserves another. So the king, he asked his ex-minister, or his retiring minister, for a favor. He began to solicit Ramananda Rai to make a meeting arrangement. The king told Ramananda Rai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very, very merciful to you, therefore please solicit my meeting with him without fail. So there's diplomacy here, intelligence, gentle pressure and everything. These have their counterpart in the material world. But what is the objective here? It is a very sweet and transcendental thing, all these things going around Lord Chaitanya, that they want to render him intimate service. And he's testing the sincerity, or he's also setting the standard of proper sannyas and churning the nectar. Materialists, they have no taste for such a thing. They're after, if there's some objective and there's some pressure, it's for something tangible like money or some kind of conquest. They can't understand what is this. But in devotional life, our objectives are like this. We may use our intelligence and try to obtain something, but it's not for our sense gratification. It may be to further some objective of the Krishna consciousness movement, something for preaching. We have to use different skills. But so when the goal is pure like that, then it makes it entirely different. And although a devotee is meant to be usually very simple and straightforward, says what's on his mind, these kind of things are going on. You can say behind Lord Chaitanya's back, although he knows it, knows everything. But they're all plotting and meeting in different places against the so-called decision of the Lord not to see the king. Ramananda Roy was indeed a diplomatic minister for the king. His general behavior was very expert, and simply by describing the king's love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gradually softened the Lord's mind. So Ramananda Roy, now he goes to Lord Chaitanya. And their relationship can't even be described as to what took place at the river Godavari, how they spoke from beginning topics up to the highest possible topics of the relationship of Radha and Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya just said, I can't live without you. You must come and live with me, and we can talk together like this always in Jagannath Puri. And they did. So that's not the kind of relationship you would dare to compromise, say, on Ramananda Rai's part, and try to enter, well, Lord Chaitanya is very close with me, I'll try to enter some sense gratification into it for my own benefit. We should be very careful. Out of their mercy, the Vaishnavas, they may allow us to come close to them, but then we shouldn't use that to try to get some material favor. Because we could then pollute or what we had so purely, or displease. And certainly our relationship with Krishna, Prabhupada is training us, don't go to Krishna for such things. There was one devotee, left Krishna consciousness many years ago, but he went to Prabhupada and in Los Angeles. He'd been initiated and practicing for some years, and he was trying to express to Prabhupada how he was feeling tortured by his mind and by his senses and by life, and wanting some mercy from Krishna. So he was asking Prabhupada that, you know, can't you do something? It's my life is so hellish. And at least at this instance, rather than say something soft to him, Prabhupada spoke angrily and said, don't ask Krishna for anything. He said, you should only go to Krishna when you want to surrender. So it was a kind of a shocking thing to say to the person who's saying, I'm suffering like anything. Please, tell me how to get the Lord's mercy. Prabhupada said, that's not the way to approach the Lord. There's no such approach for mercy. Approach for surrender. But Ramananda Roy, he's expert in even more than in any kind of material intelligence, in spiritual intelligence. So he asks Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please show your lotus feet to the king at least once. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, my dear Ramananda, you should make this request after duly considering whether it is befitting for a sannyasi to meet a king. If a mendicant meets a king, this world and the next world are both destroyed for the mendicant. Indeed, what is there to say of the next world? In this world, people will joke if a sannyasi meets a king. Now, this particular thing may be a little difficult for us to appreciate, because a devotee might want to meet with a king for spreading Krishna consciousness. But we might think of things that we might do that would be the cause of making us a joke if a devotee does this. You can think what would be some cases. I can think of... I remember one example. There was a devotee who was he was a leader in one temple, and he was a very good kirtan singer. He used to sing in public with a harmonium at festivals and everything. And then he left Krishna consciousness, and very abruptly he did, and he started frequenting the bars in that city. So he went into one bar, and an Indian man, who also shouldn't have been going into the bar, went into the bar, and then he saw this devotee there, and they were both drinking, and so he jibed to the devotee, why don't you bring your harmonium and sing some Hare Krishna? So that's an example of where the devotee had already chosen to go to hell. But if for some reason a devotee was still trying to present himself as a devotee and went to the bar, it would be a cause for a joke. That you're the person who's chanting Hare Krishna and telling everybody chant Hare Krishna, and you were doing this. So there are things that are incongruous for a devotee to do. And so he should never ruin the reputation. The Lord Chaitanya is saying, my whole standing will be compromised. Ramananda Rai says, oh, my Lord, you are the supreme independent personality. You have nothing to fear from anyone because you are not dependent on anyone. But this is to address Lord Chaitanya as if he's the supreme Lord, which he is. But this is not really a good argument to say that, oh, my Lord, you don't have to care what anybody thinks. You're Svarat. Ramananda Roy, when he said that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu objected and said, I am not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary human being. Therefore, I must fear public opinion in three ways, with my body, mind, and words. As soon as the general public finds a little fault in the behavior of a sannyasi, they advertise it like wildfire. A black spot of ink cannot be hidden on a white cloth. It is always very prominent. So Lord Chaitanya is independent, but he's worried that there may be bad talk. Of course, this world is such that there's always bad talk. Even when someone doesn't make any fault, they will spread rumors and say bad things. So that can't be stopped by by just manipulation of public relations. In public relations in the material world, people don't go to the root of trying to change their, what we call, image by actually changing their behavior. They keep their behavior shoddy, but then try to package it or present it so people won't get the wrong idea. And so they may always be worried, what does the Gallup poll say about this? Well, they said this is very bad what you just did. All right, then we'll do something else. This is not morality, and this is not what Lord Chaitanya is worried about. He's not worried about some bad talking. He's worried about bad talking, but bad talking based on wrong behavior. So if you behave right, that is the best thing you can do. Then there won't be any scandalous talk. And if you do everything right, and still they speak against you, as some, even today, some atheist scholars, so-called scholars, they say, oh, Lord Chaitanya, he had epilepsy, he was a madman. Or someone will talk against Jesus Christ, against Lord Ramchandra. But Lord Ramchandra especially, he always thought, I must do what I can live with, that will in which my heart will be pure, and if I can live with myself as honest, then it doesn't matter what happens. I can be exiled in the forest. Better I be there and I be at peace with myself then I start some palace revolution and try to stay in the kingdom. Exemplary activity is the way to respond to this world which is full of gossip and rumor. And along with that, one can try to propagate Krishna consciousness in the most favorable way. So I think this is for all of us, this example that anything we do bad, it will show up like a black spot of ink on a white cloth. Prabhupada said Caesar's wife should be above suspicion. And if there's any doubt in our behavior, we should be very careful to try to remove that doubt in people's minds. Ramananda Roy replied, "My dear Lord, you have delivered so many sinful people. This king, Prataparudra, the king of Orissa, is actually a servitor of the Lord and your devotee." So Ramananda Roy is saying this is an exception. You shouldn't see a king, but this is an exception. So the whole matter, everything has to be weighed individually, whether such an exception can be made. And that includes what the public will think about it. To go against tradition, to defy the Vaishnava traditions or spiritual traditions is not something that one could do lightly. And that's why it was so strong in those days, that's why all this figuring out had to be done. Everyone agrees, Lord Chaitanya included, that the king is a great devotee, but how to bring about a meeting between the sannyasi and the king? That was such a strong thing that they managed to do it, but it took so many steps and so many maneuvers. It shows us that we shouldn't take it as a trifle, the different things that are tradition. Now, here's a surprise in the dealings. The Lord Chaitanya has been a bit of a stone wall, and he's not helping them at all. They make different suggestions, and he might concede, "All right, I'll give some cloth." But now he shows further that he's being softened. Now he makes a voluntary gesture. He says, "The king possesses all good qualities, but simply by taking up the name king, he has infected everything. But if you are still very eager for the king to meet me, please first bring his son to meet me. It is indicated in the revealed scriptures that the son represents the father. Therefore, the son's meeting with me would be just as good as the king's meeting with me." And Prabhupada says in the purport, "Atmava putra utpana iti." The Vedas enjoin that one is born as his own son. The son is none different from the father, and this is admitted in every revealed scripture. In Christian theology, it is believed that Christ, the Son of God, is also God. Both of them are identical. It's interesting that Prabhupada, in a situation, in this context, introduces this little bit about Christian theology. Christian theology has a place in Prabhupada's preaching, simply because he was the first one to preach in the West, which is so predominated with Christianity. Christianity existed in the time of Lord Chaitanya. In fact, one devotee is writing a PhD thesis about comparing Lord Chaitanya with a Christian saint, Saint John of the Cross. But it was not known in India. So there's no mention of it in Chaitanya Charitamrita as if it didn't even exist. Although there's quite a bit of mention of Buddhists and Muslims. But Srila Prabhupada was the first one to break the boundaries and to go all over the world. just another instance of how extraordinary Prabhupada's accomplishment is. And how it must have been seen even in the higher planets and in the spiritual world, that something extraordinary is happening on the planet Earth. This person is going and spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, even in Christian countries. I think of that. There's that a drama about Lord Chaitanya. And there's one scene where Kali is boasting, and he has his agents, Sin and Lust, and they're all exalting how, well, if I can't ensnare the soul, then you'll get him. Yes, I am Kali and my consort Sin. And they're celebrating their evil control of the world. And then all of a sudden they hear faintly, Hare Krishna. This is how they stage it anyway. And then he says, what's that? And he starts getting worried. And then they say, actually, our time is up. This is Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan. We're doomed. And they get very frightened. So that happens when Srila Prabhupada began to preach. The higher spiritual beings became enlivened, and the higher evil beings became very alarmed, but they could not stop him. So he began to introduce things or break ground that had never been broken before. Sometimes someone may say that something Prabhupada does was never done by a previous acharya. That's true. A lot of things he did, they didn't have to comment on, because it never came before their scope or even their dreams. There's no... None of the previous acharyas ever said that you shouldn't take LSD. Did they think that there was no such... that it's not an important thing? It's a very important thing in 1960 for Prabhupada to say that. And so there are many things that he had to do, being guided by Guru Shastra and Sadhu. So anyway, this point about Christian theology, he kept it simple, but when there was an opportunity, he had to make it clear that how the devotee of Krishna accepts Christ as the Son of God, but that God the Father, he must be able to have many sons, not just one. And these basic points like this are like part of the understanding of a Krishna conscious person since the time of Srila Prabhupada. Then, this was good news. So Ramananda Roy went at once to the king and told him that Lord Chaitanya will see your son, the prince. So the prince is a very young man, very beautiful, and blackish in complexion. He dresses in yellow cloth, and anyone who sees him remembers Lord Krishna. Seeing the boy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately remembered Krishna. Meeting the boy in ecstatic love, the Lord began to speak. Here is a great devotee, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Upon seeing him, everyone can remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. This is another example of Lord Chaitanya's consistent attitude of acting as a devotee. Otherwise, if he's the Lord, why is he saying, this boy reminds me of Krishna? He's Krishna himself. But he's like a Maha Bhagavat devotee, a very advanced devotee who sees Krishna everywhere, and not the Lord himself. And he's not a Mayavadi either. He's the greatest pure devotee, identifiable with Srimati Radharani herself. And so just as Radharani, when she saw Uddhava, thought this is Krishna. And even when she saw Tamal tree, thought that this may be Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya, when he sees a beautiful young boy, blackish in complexion and with a yellow garment, he thinks that this is Krishna. Even though Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he placed himself in the position of a gopi. He also accepted the king's son directly as the son of Maharaj Nanda. This is perfect vision according to the direction of Vedic culture. Pandita Samadarshana. And then Prabhupada, in the same purport, goes on to say that this is not possible unless it's Krishna's mercy to reveal this to you. Mm. It's not our endeavor that can bring about such ecstasies, such visions, and so on. He quotes, Nayamatma Prabhachanena Labhyo. The Supreme Lord is not obtained by expert explanations, by vast intelligence, nor even by much hearing. He is obtained only by one whom he himself chooses. To such a person, he manifests his own form. So Lord Chaitanya was therefore acting as a very fortunate devotee. So fortunate that when he saw the boy, he could think of Krishna. That means he had Krishna's mercy on him. But all that is just external, whereas actually he is Krishna. Anyway, it goes on. And I'm going to stop before going into the actual subject of the title of the chapter, the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. But there's just one more verse I want to comment on. The boy and Lord Chaitanya, they both become very ecstatic, shedding tears, and all the sattvika bhavs are displayed by both of them. And the boys chant Krishna, Krishna. And then the Lord Chaitanya lets the boy go, but just by embracing him, the boy now becomes a great devotee. Since then, the fortunate prince was one of the most intimate devotees of the Lord. And so to this purport is an encouraging, this verse is an encouraging purport where Prabhupada speaks of the logic called Nagna Matrika Nyaya. This is a good phrase to know for our preaching. There are so many nyayas or logic, and there's the logic of the, I don't know the Sanskrit, but the bird who thought that the bull's testicles were a fish. That's one kind of logic. And so behind this, you say, well, what does that mean? When it's explained, there's a whole attitude, usually some false attitude that you take toward life or toward God consciousness. It's revealed by this expression of this particular kind of nyaya. So here's a nyaya called Nagna Matrika Nyaya. Matrika means mother, and Nagna must mean naked. Nyaya means logic. So this is, Prabhupada just says that the prince, how is it that the prince, by one meeting, by one glance by Lord Chaitanya, becomes one of the most confidential devotees of the Lord? We cannot apply the Nagna Matrika Nyaya formula. This states that if one's mother was naked in her childhood, she should continue to remain naked, even though she has become a mother of so many children. If a person has actually been addicted by the mercy of the Lord, he can immediately become a topmost devotee of the Lord. The logic of Nagna Matrika states that if a person is not elevated on such and such a date, he cannot become an exalted devotee overnight, as it were. This particular instance offers evidence to contradict that theory. On the previous day, the boy was simply an ordinary prince, and the next day he was counted as one of the topmost devotees of the Lord. So, this means also that the Westerners can change. Some of the smarter Brahmins and other caste-conscious Hindus would say that you Western devotees, you cannot, as long as you have this body, you cannot become a Vaishnava. So that's the Nagna Matrika. Because we were flesh eaters, drunkards, and so many bad things. Does that mean we always have to be that way? And the example is so striking and absurd that the mother would be expected that the mother is naked as an adult. Yes, because she was naked when she was a baby. It's ridiculous. Logic. That's a logic? So the same thing. Oh, these people, they were sinful, they cannot become devotees. By the power of the Lord, by the power of the Hare Krishna mantra, that can be overcome. Don't use that logic to say that anybody, not only Western devotees in general, but among the devotees, some devotee may have fallen down, but that does not mean it's a permanent condition. Nice, important thing to understand. So you can see that step by step, Lord Chaitanya is allowing the king to come closer to him. But not without the sincere endeavors of the devotees, like Lord Nityananda, Ramananda Roy, and the others, Sarvabhauma. Any questions? No.